Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, we are going to be answering a question and kind of talking about a scenario from one of our listeners. Her name's Nancy from Massachusetts. Nancy is a buy and hold investor. She's been buying, traditionally buying properties with 25 to 30% down. She recently lost her W-2 job, and her last property that she purchased was for cash. Well, her question is how can she pull some of that equity out of the properties that she has using creative financing in order to position herself, especially right now, to be able to buy more rentals in the near future here, since, you know, property values are probably going to take a dip, and this is, it's going to be a good time to have cash at hand. So I wanted to talk about this with you, Jeff, because we don't talk about it a lot, really. You know, if you have properties already, how can you use creative financing to tap into the equity? And I know right now the lending requirements and are tightening up. And so some of the traditional loan programs out there are going away, things like HELOCs. And so I guess what I had in my mind, and we'll get your thoughts on this, but she could maybe look for a portfolio lender. And I know that might be hard right now at this time, but maybe look for a portfolio lender where she can wrap, you know, kind of bundle her properties into a loan and maybe get some cash back. I don't know. And then selling properties on creative financing to tap into some of that equity. So what I think of first is the properties that don't perform very well, or her least performing properties, those are the ones she should be looking at to do some kind of seller financing on, to, you know, hopefully get some cash out of them and be able to position herself to buy some more. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that, and hopefully we can answer her question.
Well, why don't we kind of set the stage a little bit? We're still dealing with COVID-19 and the coronavirus, and we're middle of April, and we've got lenders really starting to back off, both hard money lenders, conventional lenders. Chase just came out with something. The majority of their loans are going to require at least 20% down and a 700 plus credit FICO score. These are all issues. The biggest issue that I just heard with our listener is that she lost her W-2 job. So HELOCs are out. Any kind of financing is most likely out. I think you had a really good point. I still don't know if she would be able to qualify, and I don't know if it would even be worthwhile to do something with a portfolio lender. It's something she could certainly look into and see what the situation is. She may be able to get away with not having a W-2 job if all of her properties kind of carry themselves, and she does have that one free and clear property that would certainly help some of the cash flow issues. One of the things that I would say is, you know, lending will come back, right? I mean, it will come back, and hopefully our listener will get her job back at some point as well. And there may be some room to go then refinance that property that she paid cash for, because I think that's a mistake right now. And with the way interest rates are and tying up that kind of cash, you're just not going to get the kind of cash on cash return that you really should be getting. That cash could probably buy 4 to 10 or more houses or properties as opposed to buying one. And when I say that, not over leveraging yourself too, right? So making it so that you are in good position, you're creating more and more cash flow. I think there will be opportunities to use more creative financing, like right now for the next 3 months, 6 months, 12 months or beyond. And what I mean by that is that's little to no money down type properties with, this may be like the perfect storm in that interest rates have been historically low. And now you've got this potential where prices may come down a bit. People are losing their jobs and may have to be forced to sell their properties. And lenders aren't really lending. Creative financing is like perfect right now.
Yeah. And
so to me, the goal should be is figure out how to get some cash. And that may be going and finding a private lender and seeing if you can leverage at least your free and clear property. That would make sense. Not a hard money lender, not like a 10-12%, you know, couple points deal. More of hey, and maybe you can't pull out as much money as you like, but maybe you pull out some. You know, more like 5-7% interest only kind of thing. And now you just wait until you get your job back and you get the lenders start coming back and you'll refinance them out and pay them off. I think that's the quickest, easiest way to get some cash. But you could look at doing some other things as well, like you had mentioned, Jonathan.
So just to clarify real quick, you're saying find a private lender, probably at your local REIA, right?
Yeah, someone that's got maybe IRA money that would like a little better return than they're getting right now.
Yeah. So go to your local REIA and you know, start asking around people that might be interested in lending you know, on a free and clear property, putting the first position on it.
50, 60, 70, 75% loan to value should get, you should be able to find someone that would do that.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good suggestion. So hopefully Nancy, when you listen to this, you know, you go out there to your local REIA and try to find a private investor.
So if some of these properties aren't accounted for already, so if they're not rented already, we could certainly look at trying to do some creative financing on the selling or the rent to own side. It would bring you in some cash. I don't know if it's going to bring you in a tremendous, I doubt that you have a whole bunch of these properties sitting vacant. And so that may be a little more of a challenge, but it's something that you could certainly look at doing. But I mean, if you just pay, I have no idea what kind of property you paid for, you know, that was free and clear. But even if it was $100,000 and you were able to get 55, 60,000 out of it, the goal really is that some of these properties that you should be able to go find, you know, now and going forward will be little to no money down. So that, you know, you might be able to buy some of these properties for $3,000, $5,000, $8,000 down, maybe even take over existing debt subject to, or, you know, doing some kind of wrap. But I think that you're going to start seeing more and more people that need to sell. And if you have a solution, that they would at least be open to listening. And if you're taking over debt, you got to remember, you may be taking over interest rates somewhere between 3-4%. Which potentially will allow you to cash flow pretty well on that particular type property.
Yeah. So Jeff, would you, if you're in this situation, Would you look at properties that are just underperforming and just sell them off and get, you know, capture as much of that equity as you could, selling it on seller finance?
I think if I could get the kind of price that I would want, maybe. But I think that that's the question mark, is that you know, things are quite uncertain right now. I don't know the kind of price range she's dealing in. I don't really know that market super well. And, but yeah, I mean, if you could, if you put down 25, 30% and you could recover, you know, all of your money, maybe even a little bit, depending on when you bought it. Yeah, why not? And maybe you don't sell off many, maybe you sell off one or two. And, but I might test the waters and just see what happens with one, but I think I'm going with the first option, and that is, go borrow some money on my free and clear house and just have some money available to, go and buy some of, pick up some of these properties where, you know, I can cherry pick. And I would tell, I can't remember, do you remember our listener's name?
Nancy.
I would tell her, I get that you're a buy and hold investor, but cherry pick the best ones for you and figure out a way to wholesale some of the others. So you're bringing in, you know, even if it's small chunks of cash, that'll help build your cash reserves as well. Right now, there are so many options that you're going to, that are going to present themselves to you, that I just think that the more creative you are, even if you had to go borrow down payments, then go borrow them temporarily. What I'm saying is, having no liquidity right now should not stop you from being proactive in this market and taking advantage of some opportunities that absolutely will present themselves. Could bring on a partner, have the partner put up all the money. I don't think that's really worthwhile personally, because I think we're talking small amounts of money, and I think you'll get away with, you know, paying someone a good interest rate on their money, taking, you know, a second position on down payments, as long as you can show them that you know what you're doing and that you can cash flow and cover their payment. And if you can't do that, yeah, then you can borrow against that property and then show people you can, and people will then come to you.
Right, right. And I guess there's a lot of information we don't know. We don't know what price range she's working in. We don't know what her income is, what it looks like outside of her W-2 job, if, you know, if she's living off of her rentals right now. We don't know, you know, how much equity she really has tied up in her properties.
Well, we really don't know what her cash flow is either, right? You know, obviously, yeah, a free and clear house, yeah, you're making good cash flow, but was it a good purchase? Yeah. You know, I can make any property look pretty good when I paid all cash for it and I'm just showing cash flow, but that doesn't mean that, you know, I spent my money in the right way.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all about cash on cash return. Right. And so, you know, what is her cash on cash return? So I hope that answers her question. And just to summarize, so go out there, Nancy, find a private investor, a private lender that would lend, you know, 65-75% loan to value on your free and clear property, secure them in a first position mortgage or trust deed, and then use that cash like Jeff's talking about and go out there and leverage properties using creative financing now. So if you're able to pull some of that cash out, then the biggest benefit to using creative financing is just the ability to leverage what you have, right, Jeff? I mean, ultimately, you're leveraging what you have. And that's the power of creative financing, is it allows you to leverage in a way where you need, you know, little liquid resources. So go out there, try to find that person, that private lender. And number two, you know, see if you can find a portfolio lender that would wrap all your properties into one loan and maybe give you some cash you know, some cash out of that, especially if you have a free and clear property in there. You might be able to find some kind of portfolio lender. I don't know. I know in this market that we're going into, that it's going to be, you know, that's going to be a lot harder to find.
And that might be a good thing, to be honest, because if you refinanced it, or not refinanced, but if you purchased and you got a really good interest rate on some of these deals, you're going to give that up with a portfolio lender. And to be honest, I love to be able to use leverage, but I like to use leverage intelligently. And I can tell you, this is my experience from back in 2008. Okay. All the gurus, all the teachers, all the mentors were, when things kept going up, 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 it was all about leverage. Leverage everything you got to be able to go buy more. And I learned a very valuable lesson during that time period. And that is that I agree with leverage to a certain extent. Here's my own personal belief. I'm not leveraging my owner-occupied property. Okay. I am leaving that property alone. I don't care if I've got 80% equity in it. I am not going to leverage my property. Ask me why I would do that. Why I wouldn't do that.
Because you don't want to lose your house.
I went through this, right? When things go bad, they go really bad. And so I would tell you, protect the roof over your head, your family's head, first and foremost. Second, I don't know what kind of cash flow that you have. And if you've got $100-$200 a month type cash flow, other than the property that you paid cash for, you don't have room to leverage, right? I mean, that's barely scraping by to begin with. And if things, you had a vacancy, I mean, it would probably eat up all your cash flow over a number of properties. Now, if you got, you know, $500-$700 a month cash flows over various properties, maybe you do have the ability to leverage. But I would tell you that keep my investments safe. Continue to build, because I think there's huge opportunity coming, all right? Now, and as we go through all of this, there's going to be a lot of different opportunities. And I think that you want to be able to take advantage. When I say take advantage, yes, it would be nice if you were liquid, you had cash to use. But that doesn't mean that it has to be your cash. So go find people that understand your vision. At the very worst, go find a partner. You don't have to split things 50-50. Maybe it's 60-40. Maybe it's 70-30. And they bring small amounts of cash to the table. Something is better than nothing. And now you're not, you know, leveraging everything that you have anyway and putting it all at risk. So, and I don't know that this is a downturn yet, but I have my opinions about it. And I would say that I'd be cautious with the properties I already own. And I don't want to put those at risk. I want to continue to go do business. And now I'm going to do business probably in a whole lot different way. And I would tell you, I really hope that this teaches you a lesson. Stay away from the banks. There's no reason to be putting down 20, 25%, 100% of your money. It's not the best use of your money. Think creatively, use your money in better ways. Just think, if you would have understood creative financing before you did all this, you'd probably have the same portfolio, but with the vast majority of your money still in your bank account.
Right. That's a great point. So yeah, definitely go find a partner and become a deal finder. If you become a deal finder, it's easy to find partners. Then you just go to your local RIA. There's going to be someone that doesn't know how to find deals. And if you can find deals, number one, so you become a deal finder. Number two, you use creative financing. Then it's going to be really easy to find a partner that says, oh, wow, she already lined up financing. We just have to bring in this little down payment here. It's a no-brainer for them to partner with you on that deal. So,
well, Jonathan, think about this. I mean, the stock market, I mean, is that a safe place for your money right now?
No.
I mean, seriously, it's a huge roller coaster.
And, yeah.
A lot of people will be pulling their money out of the stock market. Is real estate going to go down? Yeah, it might. But there's still a need for real estate, right? That need will never go away. People need a place to live.
Yep.
It might be harder to get, might still have issues with affordability, but people still need a place to live. And so it's much easier to get someone to look at, hey, here's my business plan. This is what I can make happen. What I need is some money. Here's the value that I bring. And they're going to sit there and they're going to have money that they've got to put to use. Otherwise, it sits in a bank account getting what? 0.25% interest? So to me, it's like I'm always looking for ways to make deals happen. And almost never does it have to do with my money. Almost never.
Right. That's a beautiful thing. And I, you know, real estate holds, the value holds up historically during downturns of the market, you know, during recessions, except for, you know, the last, you know, 2008, 2009, but, you know, it was a real estate bust is, you know, is what caused the issue to begin with. But historically, home prices hold up well during recessions. So, and, you know, it's one of the basic needs.
Well, let me ask you a question, Jonathan. Would you take over a house right now if, you know, it had a break-even cash flow or $100 a month cash flow, but you could do it with no money down out of your pocket?
Yeah, I would.
You probably would, right?
Yeah.
Would you take over one that, you know, maybe you can make $100, $200 a month cash flow, but you had to put down a $2,000, $3,000?
Maybe
if it was in good condition in a decent area, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. I really think that you're going to start seeing more of those types of deals. And yes, it would be nice to have your own cash to, you know, take care of a couple thousand dollars here and there, and not bring in a partner for something like that. And I think that you definitely have Nancy has the capability of doing that with that one property. And then anything more than, you know, a few thousand dollars, then now you look for that partnership. But it's kind of that, don't put yourself in a situation to lose and you won't lose.
Right. Love it. Well, I think that answers her question and we've given her some good suggestions on, where to go and what to do. So yeah, let's wrap this one up here then. Any last words on that subject, Jeff?
No, I just think that, I'm a big proponent right now of still being in the game, right? I don't, and we just talked about this before we got on the show about what you're doing and how you're doing it. And I think that as an investor, we want to be in the game. We want to be cautious. We don't want to put ourselves at risk. And if we do put ourselves at risk, we want one of two things, very minimal risk or a big upside. And I personally think that if you sit this out, you are missing out, right? You can't make any money if you don't get in the game. You can't hit the big shot if you're not willing to take it. And that doesn't mean go crazy and, you know, do whatever, but be cautious. And if you're not even sure about it, then, you know, one, look at wholesaling or look at partnering or, you know, something where you're still in the game. And I think too many people are like, oh, I'm afraid, I don't know what to do, or my hard money lenders aren't lending anymore. It's like, yeah, this is what happens in a crisis. And if you're truly a real estate investor, you adapt. And maybe it takes a little bit to figure it out. Maybe you try one thing and that doesn't quite work out the way you want, so you make some modifications, but you adapt. Because if you can't adapt, then you're just looking for the up cycles in real estate. And I don't think we're in an up cycle anymore. And yeah, we'll see you in a few years.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think we're in an up cycle either. If anything, we're in a sideways market right now.
a lot of unknowns, a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, that's going to start going down for sure. But anyway, okay, guys, if you want to reach us, you can reach us on our hotline, Creative Financing Hotline, 877-409-8090. And if you want to get special access to a video on creating offers step-by-step and the exit strategy for a single-family property that Jeff put together, just text CFP or Creative Financing to that number, 877-409-8090, and you'll get the link for that. We're also on Facebook at the Creative Financing Podcast. And then all of our web episodes are on thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. So you can see our archive there. And yeah, if you like this, you know, give us a thumbs up. We are going to continue to bring you value, especially during this time, you know, where we believe we're going into a recession. And you know, this is going to be the best time to know how and use creative financing strategies, because the opportunities are going to be endless. So we appreciate you guys. Also, if you want to get a hold of Jeff, if you're interested in his apprenticeship program, just call our hotline and mention specifically that you're interested in his apprenticeship program, and he'll get back a hold of you. So any last words, Jeff?
Yeah. So first of all, if you are not, I don't want to say I'm excited because of what's going on right now is, I mean, it's a terrible thing, right? So many people losing their jobs, so many people dealing with COVID-19. I mean, there's a lot of bad going on right now. And, the way I look at it is I can help a lot of people coming soon. And by helping people, they're going to create opportunities for me and people that understand what we do. And I am committed, Jonathan, we are committed to helping people do just that. So if yes, you want to be a part of our apprentice program, let me know. I need help. We need help promoting our podcast. We've now been doing this just about 2 years. We just cleared our 100th episode. We need someone that has some social media experience that can blow up our exposure. We really have never done that before. Everyone is kind of more of word of mouth, and it's time. It's time that we reach the masses and really get this thing pumping.
Yeah, I agree. And we always say we're going to do these announcements at the beginning and the end.
We need to.
Glad you mentioned, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Well, and I'm willing to give something free. I'll add you to my apprentice program. I'll do free training with you. You bring us value, I will bring you value. But you got to know what you're doing, right? I want to get in front of thousands of people. I want to triple, quadruple our listening ship. And if you're good at that, I'm good at real estate. I can help you.
Yeah, love it. Okay, guys. Yeah, get a hold of us on our hotline if you're willing to help us out in that regard. And until next time, guys, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.